from Jakarta, Indonesia. Here is Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our program through shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz. Online streaming, voanews.id, and RRI Digital Mobile Application. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. From
Hello, VOI listeners. How are you today? It is nice to meet you again with me, Rahma, who will accompany you in 60 minutes ahead. In today's edition, we present some information starting from news, commentary, and so forth. We will also play some songs. Now let's begin with news, so stay with us only on voinews.id, RRI Digital Mobile App, and shortwave frequencies 3325 and 4755 kHz.
Here is the news read by Ray. First, the headlines. 30 Indonesian citizens evacuated from Syria in second wave of evacuation. Indonesia to monitor development of Bali 9-5 inmates via its embassy. And now the news in details. The Indonesian government has again evacuated Indonesian citizens affected by the Syrian conflict. As quoted from the Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs in a statement on Sunday, 30 Indonesian citizens were evacuated from Syria on Friday and arrived safe in Indonesia on Sunday. They consisted of 25 women and 5 men from the provinces of Aceh, Banten, West Java, Central Java, East Java, West Nusa Tenggara, Central Sulawesi, and South Sulawesi. It is the second wave of evacuation of Indonesian citizens in Syria. The evacuation was carried out via Lebanon and flights to Jakarta. Previously, the Indonesian government had evacuated 35 Indonesian citizens in the wave of evacuation on Thursday. Thus, 65 citizens had evacuated from Syria, according to previous data. 1,162 Indonesian citizens are in Syria, 65 of whom have returned to their homeland, and 84 others have stated their desire to return. The ministry and the Indonesian embassy in Damascus continue to monitor Syria's security situation up to this day. The second news. The Indonesian government will continue to monitor Bali 9 drug convicts after they have transferred to Australia. As supported by Antara News Agency, Indonesia's Coordinating Minister of Law, Human Rights, Immigration, and Penitentiary Affairs, Yusril Iza Mahendra, on Sunday, said that Australia would inform Indonesia of the prisoners' progress and open access for the Indonesian embassy in Canberra, Australia to monitor the development of the inmates. Minister Mahendra also explained that the Australian government has agreed to all conditions proposed by Indonesia for the 5 inmates' transfers, as he and Australian Minister of Home Affairs Tony Burke signed a practical agreement on Thursday. The Bali 9 were a group of 9 Australians convicted for attempting to smuggle 8.2 kilograms of heroin in 2005, and 5 of them had been transferred to Australia on Sunday morning. They were handed over to the Australian government at the I Gusti Ngurah Rai International Airport near Denpasar, Bali. The 5 inmates are Matthew James Norman, Scott Anthony Rush, Si Yi Chen, Michael William Zugach, and Martin Eric Stevens. The third news. Indonesia's Coordinating Minister of Economic Affairs Erlangga Hartarto said that the government will impose a value tax rate of 12% starting in 2025. As reported by Detik.com, at a press conference on the country's economic policy package in Jakarta on Monday, Minister Erlangga said it is in accordance with the tax regulation mandate based on Act No. 7 of 2021 on harmonization of tax regulation. However, the tax increase exempts basic necessities, as well as all essentially needed goods and services. This includes foods such as rice, meat, fish, eggs, vegetables, and milk, as well as education, health, public transportation, and financial services. He also said that the government is trying to provide stimulus or economic policy packages for low-income households. He added that the government would bear of the VAT for basic necessities. Thus, its VAT rate remains at 11%, the same as in previous years. Meanwhile, the Indonesian Minister of Finance, Sri Mulyani, said the ministry has considered the House of Representatives' proposal to impose a VAT rate of 12% for luxury goods. The fourth news. Indonesian members of House of Representatives, DPR, from the Prosperous Justice Party, visited the United Nations headquarters in New York, United States, on Thursday. As supported by Antara, the delegation met Pablo Espinela from the UN Service Representatives of the Secretary General on Violence Against Children, Chairman of the party's parliamentary faction, Jazuli Juwaini, in a statement on Sunday explained that the meeting discussed the agenda of protecting children from violence, especially from conflict and war. The delegation specifically raised the fate of children in Gaza, Rafah, and the West Bank. Jazuli said they appreciate and continue to support the UN Special Representative, who, under the UN mandate, works to prevent and eliminate all forms of violence against children. Jazuli said all Palestinian children have been exposed to the traumatic experience of war, the consequences of which will last a lifetime. Therefore, the party requested that the UN take concrete steps in the form of immediate and permanent ceasefire so that the lives of civilians, especially children, can be saved. Moving on to the fifth news. Fiji doctors have decided to discharge 5 of the 7 patients who were hospitalized after drinking pina coladas at a luxury hotel bar. As reported by AFP, the government said on Monday that those discharged include 4 Australians and an American. Previously, Fiji's Minister of Health and Medical Service said that all 7 were taken to the hospital on Saturday night. Suffering from nausea, vomiting, and neurological symptoms, they fell ill after drinking pina colada cocktails prepared at a bar at a 5-star Warwick Fiji resort on the Coral Coast, about 70 kilometers west of the capital Suva. The ministry spokesperson said the guests aged 18 to 56 included 4 Australians, 1 American, and 2 others whose nationalities were not given. However, Fiji's Minister of Tourism and Civil Aviation, William Gavoka, said on the patients had been discharged on Sunday. Meanwhile, a spokesperson for the Warwick Fiji Hotel said it was conducting an investigation and waiting for test results from the health authorities. The sixth news. Bangladesh interim leader Muhammad Yunus on Monday said that general election would be held in the country late next year or early 2026. As supported by AFP, pressure has been growing on Yunus to set an election date. The 84-year-old microfinance pioneer is leading a temporary administration to tackle what he has called extremely tough challenge of restoring democratic institutions in the South Asian nation of some 170 million people. Yunus has launched a commission to oversee raft of reforms he said are needed, saying that reforms should take place before the arrangement for an election. Yunus said the election could be held by the end of November if the political parties agrees to hold it earlier with minimum reforms. But the full list of electoral reforms would delay polls by a few months. Yunus has appointed the country's chief advisor, the head of the caretaker government, after the student-led uprising that toppled ex-premier Sheikh Hasina in August. And the final news. The Israeli government approved a plan to double the population of the annexed Syrian Golan Heights on Sunday. As supported by AFP, the Office of Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said the government anonymously approved the 40 million shekel plan, equals to about $11 million, for the demographic development of Golan Heights. Netanyahu said that the strengthening of the Golan Heights is that of Israel, adding that Israel will continue to develop and settle the Syrian territory. Regarding Israel's recent invasion beyond the United Nations buffer zone in Golan Heights, he claimed that his country had no interest in confronting Syria. However, he said the evolving reality on the ground determines Israel's policy towards Syria. Saudi Arabia and Qatar swiftly denounced the Israel plan. The Saudi Ministry of Foreign Affairs expressed condemnation and denunciation of the plan, calling it part of the continued sabotage of opportunities to restore security and stability in Syria. Meanwhile, Doha said the Israeli declaration was a blatant violation of international law. And that was the news from Voice of Indonesia.
Today's commentary entitled Message of Indonesian Legal Sovereignty Behind the Transfer of Bali 9 Convicts to Australia. Five Australian drug trafficking convicts known as part of the Bali 9 have been transferred by the Indonesian government to Australia. They are Matthew Norman, Scott Rush, Martin Stephens, Si Yi Chen, and Michael Chugach. Australian Prime Minister Anthony Albanese, who previously met Indonesian President Prabowo Subianto in Lima, Peru, expressed his gratitude for his compassion. In 2005, the Indonesian government arrested nine Australian citizens on charges of smuggling 8 kilograms of heroin. Two people named Andrew Chan and Muran Sukumaran were executed by firing squad in 2015, while one person named Tanduch Tan Nguyen died of cancer in 2018, a few months before another named Renee Lawrence was released after her sentence was commuted. Indonesia has strict rules regarding drug abuse. It even adopts the death penalty for high-profile drug-related inmates. Bali 9 prisoners who were repatriated are still prisoners because Indonesia doesn't grant pardons. The transfer of prisoners carried out on the Bali 9 prisoners doesn't indicate that Indonesian law is weakening against drug-violating prisoners. This step actually shows Indonesia's legal sovereignty over violators from other countries who violate domestic rules regarding drugs. Indonesia will continue to enforce strict rules against foreign violators, including imposing the death penalty, if the defendant is proven to have committed a serious violation, especially in drug cases. As a sovereign country, Indonesia has the full rights to impose the death penalty on anyone found guilty, be they Indonesian citizens or foreign citizens, of drug-related crimes. This shows Indonesia's seriousness in eradicating drug-related violations domestically. Crimes involving drugs, especially their distribution, are not trivial matters because they concern the next generation of this country. The future of the nation could be destroyed if drug distribution cannot be prevented as much as possible. Therefore, the Indonesian government has made various efforts, including imposing the death penalty for big-time offenders. This step should receive support from all parties, including friendly countries, so the world can be free from drugs. That's commentary from Voice of Indonesia. We begin today in history with December 16, 1960, when two planes collided in New York. On December 16, 1960, two aircraft collided in the skies over New York, USA. The collision involved a United Airlines Douglas DC-8 flying from Chicago International Airport to John F. Kennedy International Airport with 77 passengers and 7 crew members. All passengers on this aircraft were killed, while the second aircraft was a TWA Lockheed L-1049 flying from Dayton Airport, Ohio to LaGuardia Airport, New York, carrying 39 passengers and 5 crew members, with 44 people killed. This collision is one of the worst aircraft accidents in the world. This accident was allegedly caused by a technical fault. Moving on to December 16, 1965, commemorated as the Indonesian Armed Forces Academy Day. On December 16, 1965, the Armed Forces Academy of the Republic of Indonesia, or AKABRI, was established based on a presidential decree of the Republic of Indonesia. The establishment of AKABRI aims to integrate the three previously separate dimensions of the Indonesian Armed Forces, namely the Army, Navy, and Air Force. Currently, AKABRI has changed its name to Akademi TNI, which integrates three TNI educational institutions, namely Military Academy in Magelang, Naval Academy in Surabaya, and Air Force Academy in Yogyakarta. The development and management of the three are under the Commander General of the Indonesian Armed Forces Academy, with headquarters in Cilangkap, East Jakarta. We end today in history with December 16, 1991, about Kazakhstan's Independence Day. On December 16, 1991, Kazakhstan declared its independence following the dissolution of the Soviet Union. This came after a referendum on March 16, 1991, in which 95% of Kazakhstan citizens supported the creation of the Union of New Sovereign States. Kazakhstan's independence opened a new era for the country, with the leadership of President Nursultan Nazarbayev. The country became a member of various international organizations, such as the United Nations in March 1992, the International Monetary Fund in July 1992, and the International Atomic Energy Agency in February 1994. That was Today in History from Voice of Indonesia.
Sadness in your tears, I'm fading in. My heart goes numb, awaken, change. We try to reappear like fools rushing. This changing life we can't explain. Without a sign.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listeners, next we present you a program called My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's My Indonesia is entitled Coordinating Minister Erlangga Hartarto Believes 8% Growth Target Can Be Achieved. Indonesian Coordinating Minister for Economic Affairs Erlangga Hartarto said the government is optimistic that Indonesia's economic growth target of 8% in the next 5 years can be achieved. In the 2024 National Investment Coordination Meeting in Jakarta Wednesday, the minister said the government continues to boost various strategic efforts to achieve this target, starting from industrial downstreaming to accelerating the digital economy. He emphasized the government's main strategy to encourage economic growth remain based on consumption, investment, and exports. However, unlike before, the government is now expanding its focus by encouraging downstreaming, the digital economy, and semiconductor development. In his speech, Coordinating Minister Erlangga Hartarto also stated the government doesn't want Indonesia to continue to depend on raw material commodities. Downstreaming is the key to creating added value and encouraging the manufacturing sector, which currently contributes almost 20% of the national gross domestic product. Furthermore, he also emphasized the importance of developing special economic zones. He gave an example of Gresik, which has succeeded in producing up to 60 tons of gold per year and supports the formation of a bullion bank. In addition, the government is also focusing on the downstreaming of silica sand-based commodities, which have great potential to drive the semiconductor ecosystem in the country. Regarding renewable energy, a number of efforts have been made by the government, including Indonesia's commitment to accelerate green energy, which was conveyed in the G20 forum and the APEC meeting. The minister also said that in addition to geothermal and other green energy programs, there is a nuclear-based energy development program because the system is considered clean energy and with relatively competitive cost. He said in this digitalization era, Indonesia cannot be separated from semiconductors. The government also continues to prepare superior human resources so that Indonesia can compete in the global market. Coordinating Minister Erlangga Hartarto is confident with these various efforts, the economic growth target of 8% can be achieved in order to improve the welfare of the Indonesian people. That was my Indonesia Today.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast by shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, and via streaming on voanews.id and RRE Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
You're still listening to the English program from Voice of Indonesia. Now we present Indonesian Wonder about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Listener, South Sulawesi is known for its natural beauty and unique cultural tradition, one of which is the Mandene tradition in Tanah Toraja. This tradition is a ritual to honor deceased ancestors whose body is removed from the tomb, cleaned, and dressed in new clothes. Mandene reflects the Torajan's belief that relationship with ancestors remain important even after they have passed away. The Mandene ritual is usually performed after the harvest season as a sign of gratitude for the abundant crops. During the ritual, the whole family gathers at the ancestor's grave. The coffin is opened and the body that has been preserved by traditional methods is lifted out and carefully cleaned and given new clothes. Afterwards, the body is paraded around the village to be reintroduced to the extended family and community. This ritual is performed with great respect, signifying deep love for the ancestors and gratitude for the protection given to the family. The Mandene tradition is usually performed once every 3 to 5 years, depending on the family's agreement. The Barupu region in North Toraja is one of the centers of this ritual. Aside from being a form of respect to the ancestors, Mandene is also a moment for extended families to gather, strengthening intergenerational relationships. This ritual not only preserves culture, but also teaches the importance of maintaining harmony between life and death. And that's Indonesian Wonder.
Whoa, whoa.
Voice of Indonesia.
VOI listeners, next program we have Let's Speak Indonesian, in which we introduce you to some Indonesian vocabulary and expressions, and we invite you to speak Indonesian language. This program is cooperation between Voice of Indonesia and the Language Development Agency of the Indonesian Ministry of Education, Culture, Research, and Technology.
Hello, welcome back to Mari Berbahasa Indonesia, or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, which introduces Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to speak in Indonesian language. Mari Berbahasa Indonesia, or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, is a collaboration between Voice of Indonesia and the Language Development Agency of the Indonesian Ministry of Education, Culture, Research, and Technology. Today's topic is
Di balik papan,
which means in balik papan. You will listen to a conversations about
asik,
which means fantastic. The conversation is between Chris, a vlogger from Australia, and a biker. Chris was making a travel vlog on a motorcycle from Banjarmasin to Balikpapan. Chris was expressing his excitement when finding a small shop to take rest. Let's listen to the conversations.
Kira-kira 2 jam lagi kita akan tiba di Balikpapan. Sekarang saya ada di daerah Labangka. Asyik, itu ada warung untuk beristirahat. Kebetulan saya lapar. Mari kita lihat menu di sana.
After listening to the conversations, I will introduce you to some vocabulary and expressions related to today's topic. My colleague Ranov will say it 2 times slowly, and please after her.
Asik, asik.
Which means fantastic.
Ada, ada.
Which means there is.
Warung, warung.
Which means small shop.
Beristirahat. Beristirahat.
Which means take rest.
Asik, itu ada warung untuk beristirahat. Asik, itu ada warung untuk beristirahat.
Which means fantastic. There is a small shop to take rest.
2 jam. 2 jam.
Which means 2 hours.
Tiba, tiba.
Which means suddenly.
Di Balikpapan. Di Balikpapan.
Which means in Balikpapan.
Daerah, daerah.
Which means region or daerah.
Kebetulan, kebetulan.
Which means coincidentally.
Lapar, lapar.
Which means hungry.
Menu, menu.
Which means menu. In these conversations, you will listen to the expressions
Asik, itu ada warung untuk beristirahat. Asik, itu ada warung untuk beristirahat.
Which means, fantastic, there is a small shop to take rest. In that, there is the word
Asik, asik.
Which means fantastic. And this is used to express joy over something. In this sentence, the word
Asik, asik.
Which means fantastic, was followed by an expression about something that sparks joy. In this case,
ada warung untuk beristirahat. Ada warung untuk beristirahat.
Which means there is a small shop to take rest. Here are other examples. Let's listen to some other examples using exclamations.
Asik, bulan depan saya pergi ke Jepang. Asik, bulan depan saya pergi ke Jepang.
Which means fantastic. I'm going to Japan next month.
Asik, saya mendapat hadiah. Asik, saya mendapat hadiah.
Which means fantastic. I got a present. In these conversations, the word
Asik, asik,
which means fantastic, is an exclamation to express joy over something. But in another case,
Asik
means focus or busy on something too much. For instance,
Dia sedang asik mengedit video. Dia sedang asik mengedit video.
Which means he is so busy editing the video. Before we end today's Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, let's have another go with the conversations.
Kira-kira 2 jam lagi kita akan tiba di Balikpapan. Sekarang saya ada di daerah Labangka. Asyik, itu ada warung untuk beristirahat. Kebetulan saya lapar. Mari kita lihat menu di sana.
Listener, that was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia for today about
Asik, asik,
which means fantastic. We hope today's edition will be useful for you who want to know more about the Indonesian language. I'm Daniel and my colleague
Ranov. Sampai jumpa.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Drive me to the town. Sleep with me tonight. She's my lonely wine. Nothing is forever. Nothing is for real. Do you have to leave me? Why don't you just kill me? Time is the loneliest people out.
Voice of Indonesia.
You are still tuned to the English program from Voice of Indonesia only on voinews.id, RRI Digital Mobile App, and shortwave frequencies 3325 and 4755 kHz. For the next segment, we present to you Music Corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listeners, in today's edition of Music Corner, we present a keroncong song called Hati Yang Terluka or Broken Heart by Keroncong Biru. The song, popularized by Bruri Marantika, was released in 1999. The song, created by Arianto, tells the story of the destruction of love due to being hurt by someone you love. The song lyrics vividly depict the pain that one experiences when the expected love doesn't materialize. The song also creates a powerful image of loss and longing. Listeners can feel the depth of the hurt with each verse recounting a grueling emotional journey. Well, listener, here is Keroncong Biru with the song Hati Yang Terluka. Happy listening!
Takkan lagi ku menjumpaimu. Di tengahnya kabut bermandi embun pagi, di ku
Voice of Indonesia.
Ketika pertama ku jumpa denganmu, bukankah pernah ku tanyakan padamu, kasih?
Takkan kecewakah kepada diriku? Takkan menyesalkah kau hidup denganku nanti?
VOI listener, thank you so much for listening to the English program of Voice of Indonesia through shortwave frequencies 3325 and 4755 kHz, voinews.id, and RRI Digital Mobile App. Please give your suggestion and criticism through our social media accounts, Facebook fanpage, The Voice of Indonesia, The Voice of Indonesia, or Instagram at VOI_official. Or send email to voilisteners@gmail.com. voilisteners@gmail.com. I'm Rahma signing out. Bye for now.